Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. Maybe our biggest episode yet this year with what there is to talk about. Straight off the cuff, the question of the day, was that a free kick at the end of the game to decide the Metro and Country result?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
I think it was a free kick, whether it was a 50-meter penalty. There's so much innuendo around what was actually said and whether it warranted being a 50-meter penalty. There's lots of different things flying around. I thought the way it played out left a little bit of a hollow anticlimax in what was otherwise a climatic and thrilling ending, so I would have liked to have seen it not paid. One player put it to me post-game from Vic Country. It would have been more digestible if Country had lost after conceding a contested mark inside 50 or not being able to stop a ground-level play, but to lose in that way where Country really had no control over it was really frustrating and disappointing to digest, but certainly a thrilling climax, thrilling last 10 minutes nonetheless.
Well, my problem with not even that free kick, not with that 50 metre, my problem with that, with the whole game, and I said this to you yesterday, the timekeeping. There was a minute taken off the second quarter. The siren was blown differently. It was the siren system up the top had a different time to the scoreboard, and it was blown a minute early. Now, yeah, it was the second quarter, but that's 60 seconds in the context of that game. Well, Metro scored a goal within that last 60 seconds. So, I don't know, that kind of frustrates me a little bit that it's not a fair game in that sense, but look, that's an intense final. That may be one of the best finishes you could ever get, but let's jump straight into it.
Yeah, no, certainly. And I think the player we have to start with is Xavier Lindsay.
Yeah.
If he's been underrated or flown under the radar for 18 months outside of the Gippsland power system, standing up in the biggest carnival, on the biggest day, in the biggest game, and at the most important stage of that game, is going to catapult him right into calculations, which is where he belongs, because his three games for the championships have been nothing short of phenomenal. He got 12 disposals in the first quarter and was absolutely electrifying on the outside with his ability to link up. He laid some tackles, got some marks as well, started really strongly, and then finished like a house on fire as well. Two centre clearances, three clearances, two goal assists, and then another score assist. And he also had a massive holding the ball tackle, which was huge and looked like it would be almost match winning for Vic Country. But it was a game that took what he could do at Gippsland to new heights and showed what he could do at the next level.
It was just outstanding to see. I feel like that's been the development of his year, where he just comes into these big games and absolutely nails it each time. It doesn't feel like he can have a bad game, being one where he's less impactful. Even when he's poorer, he's still impactful, and that's the level he's got himself to now. And like you said, he set up that nearly winning goal in the end, if it was that winning goal. That desperation from him, you can see it in his eyes the way he plays. He's just always there to set up things defensively and read the play so well. And he was unbelievable. And I mean, it started off the back, the game that I just, you know, he took my eye was that 17s grand final game last year, where he just understands football so well. He can't really go backwards in that sense. So, yeah, 100%, he was terrific. Are we going Country, Metro? Where do you want to move to next?
I think we might as well start with the two big performances of the day and then maybe move into Metro since they won. But if Xavier Lindsay was the biggest performance for Country, then Harry Armstrong was that man for Vic Metro. He also played three games in the championships, and his third game was clearly his best. It felt like he'd been building towards this. His ability to take contested marks and be the player that Vic Metro could look to inside 50 and kick goals continually was really important. Five goals for the day, some huge contested marks, including one up the line in the last quarter, which was so significant in the context of the day. But it was an outstanding performance, perhaps the only blemish being when he turned for goal and was unaware of Alex Tarrou being on his tail. I'm glad his reflections on the day won't be overshadowed by that, given the Vic Metro win. And he certainly has a lot to be happy with, because he was a big reason why they did get the result they did.
Not to repeat things, and I'll keep things moving on so we can talk about a few more players. I guess the next main one for Metro was Jagger Smith in terms of his productivity, that centre stoppage craft, his ability to get out quick clearances, reading the game so well offensively. I mean, he was there all day for them. He was the reason they got that last opportunity in the dying minute with that clearance, got it out to Trainer, and that sums up his carnival that well, where he's a match winner in clutch moments. I mean, he was able to turn it on all championships, and especially when Metro were, you know, kind of 50% in games, he just took it to that next level and lifted them for a couple minutes, and that's been his productivity all year.
Yeah, only the passage of time will really reveal the true quality that was out there on Marvel Stadium, depending on how many players forge really significant reputations in the AFL industry. How we reflect on this one is this one that is really star-studded, but certainly Jagger Smith was one that, like so many, stood up when the intensity went through the roof in the last quarter. After what had been a solid day, he certainly had better days. That last quarter was excellent, I thought, and was the highlight of his game. Levi Ashcroft had some really important moments in the midfield as well, and it's hard when you come to analyse Levi Ashcroft because it feels like for the last 2 years he's done the same thing time after time, but his ability to just have some really big moments and win some crucial contests and then make the right decisions is what always defines the way he plays, and Brisbane have got a good one on their hands with him.
100%. It's that consistent offensive flair. He's always willing to attack the game, and he's clutch. He's a big time player. Like that's what he's established himself now as. I'll talk about Murphy Reid now, and I'm sure you'll add to him as well, but it was another really slick performance from Murphy Reid, and whilst I thought it probably wasn't one of his better games of the championships, without, like, he was good without, I thought, being great compared to previous performances, but he was still really impactful when it mattered. And well, I think the extra thing I noticed about him was his strength, like one-on-one. He was able to push off a few opponents and get some space and set up Harry Armstrong for a goal. I think it was it might have been the last quarter, or it could have been the second. But it's just those extra things he keeps adding to his game. It's that craftiness with ball in hand. And, yeah, like I said, it was probably one of his lesser impactful games, but he still was so prominent for them all day.
We know his ability to step through traffic is what has really defined him throughout his talent pathways career. But like you said, his ability to burst through and when players were able to tackle him, his ability to have that power in the contest was really significant for Vic Metro. And the way he set up that goal just showed deft touch and nous that not many players are able to possess. I thought Jesse Toole is one that we have to touch on as well. He's played that high half-forward role for the first three games, went up to the wing in the last game, and his ability to get back and take some intercept possessions was really important. His defensive running when he was playing higher up the ground was exactly where it needed to be, and that's not necessarily an easy thing to do when you're playing a different position in the biggest game of the year, but he certainly adapted to that role well and was then able to set up Vic Metro, and he looked so dangerous when he got the ball for Vic Metro. Not sure how much of the footy he ended up with, but I'm not sure he ended up in our five either, but on reflection I thought he was one of the most influential players on the day.
Well, it's a game he probably needed. I don't think he was able to really showcase what he was capable of in those first couple of games. Like, he's got that ability to really trick the defense in the sense that he'll get into really good pockets of space and run himself into good positions to impact in the forward half. But I mean, this role showed a bit more versatility with his running patterns, his work rate up and back the ground. So I think it did show a different angle to him, and it was good to see him perform like that on this stage. Josh Smiley, probably one to just, you know, generally chat about in his performance. I thought his body work was there, and that's probably what helped him in the end to get himself into the game. It was his strength just outside 50 at times where he's able to push off and lower his eyes and find someone in a better position. But I mean, we'll talk about his general champs performance in our analysis video, which will come out later this week or early next week. But I don't know, how did you see his game? Because it was productive in a Smiley sense where he was able to accomplish probably what he would have hoped to.
He's almost hurt by how high a benchmark he set for himself in the Coates League, because I think if you watch that game and the name of Josh Smiley is James Smith, you'd say he actually had an enormous impact because of how physical and powerful he was. I thought he did have some really good moments, but because we know what Josh Smiley's capable of, we just wanted to see him produce it on the bigger stage. And no doubt there were some really enormous moments, and he did bring the intensity on Sunday, which was good to see. But yeah, maybe just fell a little bit short of what we've seen him do at Rangers level in what we do know is obviously a very formidable midfield there. And part of that midfield at the Rangers is Christian Moraes, who also played quite well well for Vic Metro, and I thought he played a really good game a couple of weeks ago for Metro and backed it up on Sunday. So he really warmed into the game, and in the last quarter he had some big moments, and his flair was crucial. Probably missed a couple of shots on goal that would have really rounded out his performance, and he could have been seen as the match winner or a little bit as having a little bit more of a significant impact in the game. But overall, his ability to link up and set up teammates with that energy was really crucial going forward.
You'd have to agree. It was probably a product of, you know, being pushed out of such a good midfield in terms of depth. That was in terms of his full championships. But he's got such good offensive flair, and he does the little things so well that probably go underrated. Maybe not in the coach's box, but maybe from you know, when you look at it back, you don't notice him as well. But yeah, I mean, he set up Kakko late as well.
Yeah.
Sorry. He set up Kakko late as well in that fourth quarter. I'm sure he will be ruining that, you know, kick into the man, the mark late. But, I mean, that's all part of it. He'll be better for it.
And I think with regards to the last 10 minutes, there was so much individual brilliance and it was such a fine contest. Both teams did miss some opportunities. So to pigeonhole Christian Moraes, there was some opportunities missed up the other end as well from players who did stand up when the game was on the line. So it was just one of those games that was, sensational to watch, but it did have a bit of everything. To move on now, you touched on Isaac Kakko there, and, he really seized his moments on the big stage. Probably his middle two games we'll reflect on as his most influential in the championships, but to finish with three goals, I believe, in the end, showed what he was able to do. And when he got the ball, he understood that pressure was coming, and he was able to dispose of it really quickly. There's a lot of talk when you go to AFL, you don't have as much time with the ball in your hand, and that was probably the case with the high-level game on Sunday between two undefeated teams. But he certainly rose to the occasion and made quick decisions and smart ones as well.
Yeah, it was a very complete performance from a small forward where he was able to show his productivity again further up the ground, kicked a massive set shot, like, you know, big goals that, you know, big time players proved himself to be. Two forwards I want to talk about that we have differing views on of the way they played, and that's Keaton Matafai Forbes, who got brought into the side, late close to the game, and Tom Sims, who neither kicked a goal, but both had such a big marking presence. Now my thoughts on this is, well, if you're a forward and you're not kicking goals, then you're not really having that much impact. And your view is that, well, you're still showing you're capable of, your marking capacity. Both missed shots they should have got at times. It's a weird one because, okay, I'll agree with Keaton in the sense that that's a pretty good effort for his, especially he hasn't played.
Yep. And congratulations for his. Yeah,
for his inclusion. But when you're not kicking goals and you're that inaccurate, I just don't see how that's impactful. If Metro lose, you look at their performances and you say, well, they just needed to kick one each and they win. Yeah. So that's the way I see it, but you can go into it more because their marking capacity was terrific. Like their contestant marking was great. So, you talk a bit more about your thoughts.
So Tom Sims played the deeper role and Keaton Matafai Forbes played a little bit higher. And, like you said, both marking targets. I guess the way I look at it is I can't disagree with you in terms of productivity in that if they're taking marks, they need to either be setting up shots on goal or kicking the goals themselves, and they had so many shots. But the way I kind of looked at it is that in a showcase game, they really show their weapons, and Keaton Matafai Forbes showed he could play as that tall forward like he's done all year at Western. And Tom Sims has had the game where he really tore it apart with three goals, and he would have loved to have done it again, but I think he was able to back up and prove that he can be that linchpin inside 50. So draftability-wise, I thought they showed plenty, and I don't think people would be too concerned by the fact that they missed shots on goal, put it down to pressure or an anomaly. But they would have liked to kick goals just given their competitive spirit, no doubt. And then the last one I wanted to touch on, probably from a Metro point of view, I thought Luca Grego played a solid game in defence. He took the game on through the corridor at times and, it was really hard to beat one-on-one. And the same could be said for Adrian Cole, actually. I want to touch on him. I thought he was quite important with his ability in the contest aerially.
Yeah, I'd agree on that last statement. I thought Cole, he played his role so well all day. He's that one-on-one lockdown type, and I thought he was able to do it. His vision was quite good as well with his kicking as well, and just some good defensive moments. And I'll probably add Tom Gross to that list of consistent role players on the day. Yep. You lose Tom Ross and you lose a bit of impact in that game. We'll move now to country, and let's start with what should have been the game winner. Let's be completely honest, in Archer Day Wicks, and It wasn't a mark, but it looked like a mark. And it was hard to tell from where we were. It was like we thought the umpire didn't call a mark, but he did drop it. But that is a massive statement from him. He finished with two really big goals in the end. It was his athleticism that, you know, showed out for me in the end. And even inside 50, I mean, he had that moment where he swiveled around and just pinpointed a kick inside 50 to Jack Whitlock. So that was a good end for Archer, who really needed to build on a championships and show he's still got that X factor. I still think he's got a bit of a way to go in the back end of the year, but at least he was able to show those, you know, dazzling moments.
I'm not putting Archer Daywicks in the same category as Josh Smiley in what they've produced so far in the talent league, but I put him in the same category in that I know what he can produce and I thought he just kind of fell short of it throughout the champs. But, yeah, his ability to get high and that can be a role where you sort of get lost, but he did have some really crucial moments in terms of that big mark. Yeah, I thought it perhaps could have been paid a mark, and if it was, you'd probably get a different result. You know, Archer Daywicks isn't missing on his trusty left boot, and, yeah, he would have taken 30 seconds off the clocker, and that probably would have been the game done and dusted right there. Sammy Lawler was another one who was really strong forward of the footy, and he's shown that power in the last two games in particular with his ability to win some crucial one-on-ones, take some massive hangers as well. But, yeah, on Sunday, his ability to kick goals and finish off his hard work was important and set some teammates up as well. I thought he just looked dangerous every time the footy was in his vicinity.
Yeah, so dangerous. I mean, such an impact per possession player. Two that I want to talk about now that I've actually grown on each game they play in the champs is the Whitlock twins. And I'll start with Matt down back, because I thought he was amazing in that first half. His impact was a bit less in the second, but I think it was completely kind of underrated, and I didn't really notice it the first time, you know, live at the game. You don't really pick up on defenders having amazing games. Sometimes you do, but they're the ones that can kind of fly under the radar in that sense. But he was so clean under pressure. Every time the ball came in, there was a bit of franticness in that forward 50. He just understood how to get it out, was calm and composed with his kicking out of it. I mean, it was just his rebounding capacity that I quite liked. He actually, you know, he tacked the game out at D50. He sold candy. Oh, I said sold candy, but like, you know, faked his opponent one way and was able to provide some offensive runs. So I just like the way he's been attacking the back end of these champs and showed that versatility. He's building on quite a good year. I'll let you respond to Matt before I move to Jack.
Yeah, six intercept possessions in the first half was really critical for what happened. And yes, he did get quieter, but he still was hard to beat, I thought, in the second half. So really played his role quite well. And yeah, he obviously has shown that versatility throughout the champs with his ability to go forward. But yeah, I really thought that, I'd probably agree with you, that was arguably a really strong finish to a pretty solid championships for Matt Whitlock. For Jack as well, I thought that was his best game. If that wasn't his best game, then maybe his first one was up there as well. But yeah, he kicked a couple of really crucial goals and took some marks inside 50. And I guess we talk about Keaton, Martify Forbes and Tom Sims being real linchpins of Vic Metro. He was probably the player who did it at the other end.
Well, I'm just double checking because I have that on my notes. He only kicked one goal. Maybe that is wrong, but
he certainly was very...
If he only kicked one goal, that's amazing, because it felt like his impact was a lot better.
Yeah.
And I guess when you look at the moment that he'd won back, it was that miss in the fourth where it puts you up three goals. Yep. And, well, I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's not like they're going to be... I mean, I'm sure they'll be disappointed, but how many misses were there in that game? Yeah. But he was unselfish. That contested capability late in the game was so vital for country and really made himself so dangerous every time the ball went in. So I was quite impressed with his performance. Moved to another forward in Joe Berry.
Yeah.
I've not been that impressed with a small forward's work rate since I was at Kakko, but in terms of, I think it was more his work up the ground as well was amazing. Like, he pushed back defensively. His work rate was outstanding. And that's not mentioning the three goals he kicked in the game as well. I thought it was a different element. Maybe he has produced that all the time, but I really noticed it this time that it was just outstanding. I think he was that missing piece at times, especially out of the defensive half when things weren't going their way. His tackle pressure was elite. Like, he was almost a small forward, but just translated it to the defensive half of the ground. in a way.
Yeah, because of how high he got. Yeah. I just think he's a prototype small forward, and he showed all his skills on the day. Yeah, it was amazing. To finish with the three goals, I think all in the second half, was a real testament to what he did. Stood up in the big moment, kicking a goal from outside 50 as well, which was really significant. Yeah. But yeah, there's not – if you look at the traits you need to be a successful small forward at the next level, there's not one that I think he doesn't possess. We'll move on to Xavier Ivasic. I thought he had a big third quarter and was really important in the contest. He's shown that fierce hunt, and he showed that again and was important. When Vic Metro did get some spurts of momentum, I thought he was a reason why they were able to stem at Vic Country.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Loved his contest work. He's like, like we've both said, like his hunt for the footy is outstanding, and he produced that again and even got on the scoreboard himself. Hard to see where to move next. I want to talk about Alex Tarrou again, and I don't know how you saw his game, but I thought, in terms of someone who just came in, did his role, especially from where he's come from as well, he was terrific. Took a few good intercept grabs and only had, I think, 5 or 6 touches in the end. But his defensive impact was elite without having the ball in his hands. I don't know where you saw his game.
And I thought the highlight of his game was clearly that rundown tackle in the last quarter. Yeah. We were doing a blog for Baseline, actually. So if you want to check out a blow-by-blow of that game, head to Baseline's website. But, yeah, he was one who, when he did execute that rundown tackle, it felt like it was going to be symbolic and really significant in the result of the game. Toby Trevallier, we have to talk about. For me, and we had differing views on his game, so I'll let you speak on what you thought, but for me it was the best game he's produced since that first game of the championships, because his ability to mix offense and defense was really critical. He knew when to attack, he knew when to come off, but equally when he had to defend, he was there as well and was really resilient. His competitiveness just continues to grow, and on the biggest stage he was one who was really significant in the outcome of the result. Oh, well, not really in the last quarter, because Vic Country ended up losing, but certainly if they'd won, you would have looked at him and said he was enormous.
Yeah, well, I don't have negative thoughts on his game. I just struggled. Like, I just feel like it went under the radar for me, and that I feel like that's the trend with – I swear every game I watch is one player that I'll just typically, you don't notice when you're in hindsight. But his impact was there. I'm not going to disagree with anything you say in that case. I mean, I've loved the way he's gone about his champs. He's been so productive every single game. I think just worth touching on, I mean, James Barrett, his effort was there all day, and I think he played his role pretty well. I'm sure you've got more to add on that or not.
He was pretty good down back, and he's adapted with the physicality to the backline role. I thought Cooper Hines had some really important moments late, not as good as his second and third games, but still came into it and did some things that he needed to. And then we have to touch on Harvey Langford as well, because he won the Lark medal, obviously, and he didn't have as much of the footy in the last game, but he showed he could really impact when he got the footy and took that big mark forward of centre in the last quarter, which resulted in a goal to Vic Country and a goal to himself. He took it in the goal square, and that's something he's been looking to add to his game. You talk about midfielders, you don't often talk about overhead marking, but he's shown it throughout these championships and has been absolutely, absolutely excellent and has shown a different element in all his games. And I thought on Sunday it was his impact per possession.
Yeah, I mean, that sums up his championships. That was elite. What a mark that was. Like, to do that in that moment, and you hear the crowd as well. It's like that. It's just, that's heading on the highlight reel. Have we talked about Cooper Hines before I moved on?
Yeah, we did.
We did. Okay. So before we move on to the girls, you spoke to Harvey Langford earlier this week, got a bit of an audio clip. So we're going to cut to that now where, yeah, we are. You asked Harvey about his championships, and it was a great insight. So we're going to cut to that now and, enjoy.
What was going through your mind, particularly in that second half and at three-quarter time when the scores were level? And I guess the match was there to be won. You would have had a lot of confidence after what you produced in the first three games.
At half-time, brought back to my strength and just remember, I've got that confidence to, do what I can do and be able to impact down forward. And, I was able to take a strong mark in the last quarter. And so that built heaps of confidence up. And I feel like as a team, we were definitely confident throughout the second half and throughout the whole carnival, and we thought that we could take it. For myself, just doing the things that I know I can do and, driving that confidence through the second half.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that mark. Obviously, it was the first goal you scored in the last quarter. I think first of three goals that Vic Country scored in the last quarter. And that aerial side of your game is something that seems to have really grown. Is that something you've worked on specifically to try and add a new string to your bow?
Yeah, I feel like I've sort of have that ability to take a strong mark over the last sort of few years of my footy. But I feel like over this pre-season I worked on it a bit more, and sort of at the start of this year sort of showed it in my game a bit more than I maybe did last year. And I think through that game one against Geelong Falcons, it sort of gave me more confidence for it as well. And I think, you know, since then I've definitely built it up and, you know, been able to show that aerial marking. Yeah,
certainly. And then winning the Lark medal would have been a real thrill. Has that sort of sunk in yet? And what are the emotions around that?
No, it's definitely pretty cool. You know, leading into the championship, sort of didn't, you know, think about that or, you know, anything. But coming into the last game, there's a bit of talk about it and saying I might, you know, might be up there for it. But no, definitely pretty amazing. And no, I wouldn't say it's sunk in yet. I don't really understand that, you know, I've won it yet and how much it actually means, but, you know, definitely pretty amazing.
I guess you touched on the camp there and you've touched on some of the players you've been able to play with and against. What's it been like playing alongside some really highly regarded midfielders, your Finn O'Sullivan, your Xavier Lindsay types, and getting to spend time with them?
Yeah, no, definitely pretty cool and good to learn off, you know, Finn O'Sullivan and Sammy Layla, just the way they go about things, and pretty cool to start on Sunday with alongside Finn and Sammy in the midfield as us three, and then obviously coming up against, you know, some other big names for Vic Metro in Josh Smiley and who else, Jagger Smith and Levi. That's pretty cool to come up against them. But, you know, just sticking to what us midfielders know and definitely pretty cool and, you know, sort of see myself sitting around them. So, yeah.
When did you find out you were going to be playing predominantly midfield for Vic Country? Obviously, there's so much talent in the lineup and a lot of players like Archer Day Wicks, you know, Sammy Lawler, like you touch on, even Jack O, who didn't get as much midfield time, but do play midfield at a Coast League level, but you were certainly a starter in there. When did you find out that would be the case?
I think it was just based on, you know, how I was performing. I think the first game, the plan was to sort of play a majority there forward for the first half.
Yeah.
And then I was able to perform pretty well. And I think sort of since then, it's sort of been based off my performance of how I've sort of started in the first half in the midfield and been pretty lucky to perform pretty well. So that sort of kept me in playing majority midfield. Yeah, so it's just sort of based off that performance. And, you know, things could have changed any moment, but no, pretty lucky to stay in there for the majority of the time.
From an individual standpoint, was there anything on-field you wanted to show, any on-field attributes you were keen to display?
No, definitely. I think, you know, when we talked about it, is that marking, but obviously didn't play as much time at four, but that midfield sort of craft and really wanted to show my kicking ability as well, being able to find someone up forward, whether that's through score involvements or throughout the back line or wherever that may be. And I love showing my, like, into-out handballs as well, so being able to get that hard ball and sort of, you know, take a few steps and get away and give that nice hands. They're sort of the things that I wanted to show.
Yeah, tell us a bit more about the kicking, because you've obviously got the size and the cleanliness you use so well in the contest, but that left peg seemed to be really influential throughout the four games.
Yeah, it's something I've worked on throughout pre-season the last couple of years. It's just that, you know, being able to drive that power into my kick and find someone, you know, whether that's 20, 30 or 40 metres away, is something I've really worked on, especially going to forward as well. Just using that power and making sure I find the right option is definitely something I've worked on and enjoyed using this year.
Okay, we're back. Hope you enjoyed that little clip from Harvey, and congratulations to Harvey as well. He won our championships medal. Not that we have an actual medal to give him, but, you know, it's there in spirit. Congratulations to Harvey, and he won the Lark medal in the end, along with Leo Lombard, probably best to mention the MVPs as well. Murphy Reid won the Metro one, and also Harvey Langford won the country one. Any disagreements there? I mean, we both said the same for the MVPs. For Lark, I think I said Murphy Reid, though.
And for Lark, I said Langford, so I was glad to see him win it. He was among their best two players, according to the coaches, in every one of their four matches, which is an absolutely outstanding effort. And, yeah, it was really good to hear him talk about his sort of team-first mentality and the way he sort of approached the championships, and the way Vic Country came together was a really interesting insight for a team that obviously don't train together, which is unlike Vic Metro. So to take it up to them was really impressive. But we'll move on to the Vic Metro versus Vic Country girls. And Vic Country actually threw a bit of a punch, which the scoreboard doesn't necessarily reflect, but Vic Metro were able to obviously kick away in that second half. And we will start with the victors, and we'll go through a few of their top performers. You can't start anywhere other than Georgia Knight, who was unbelievable in that first quarter with her goal scoring and provided so much spark. And she's so clever in general play as well, finishing with the 5 goals.
Yeah, she was so electric early on, and she's hard to shut down when she gets going. It feels like it's either a quiet day from Georgia where she can't really get herself into it, or she absolutely kills you on the scoreboard. And she's done it a couple times this year, and glad she was able to do it on the big stage as well. She was unselfish as well. She set up Mackay, which she kicks at, and she has 6, which was a kickable goal on the run from about 40 metres. So, yeah, it was really, really complete performance from Georgia. I mean, 5 goals on Marvel is it. That's something you're telling for a long time, pretty much. So that was terrific from her. I mean, where should I move? I want to talk about Zoe Hargreaves.
Yeah, yep.
That's the next one. That I thought she was terrific with her run and energy all day. Her disposal was so efficient. Her defensive exits were really well set up and really well poised a lot of the time. Took a really good contested mark in the defensive end as well. Kicked a good set shot. Sorry, that's Bellany. Missed the notes. Her inside vision was great. She was just powerful. Her tackle pressure was there. I mean, it was quite a complete performance. She didn't play in the first game, but she came into this one and was awesome.
For me, the 7 clearances was what I really noticed. Her ability to get space in her first few steps and her burst is absolutely electric, and she really led the midfield effort for Vic Metro and really helped them pull away in the second half. And alongside her were obviously Sierra Greaves and Sophie Mackay in the midfield. And I thought Sierra Greaves really lifts with her stoppage craft at this level and her understanding of where to run and how to get off her opponent in tight and win the footy. And she plays with so much confidence as well. She's obviously got such a block of form behind her now this season. And Sophie Mackay is always classy and provides real efficiency as well coming out of the middle and always hits her targets. How'd you say those 2 games?
Yeah, well, Sierra is just so aggressive, and you notice that with every time she touches the ball, she'll take it on. She's got that body to really power herself forward. I thought at times she needed a little more poise entering inside 50, but I think that improved as the game went on pretty well. I thought she was able to tidy herself up. And then when she moved the ball a bit wider, I think that's when her kicking started to work a bit better. She was able to run forward and then provide as that receiving back option. Her tackle pressure was there all day. She was awesome. And yeah, Sophie Mackay again, she's always just there and thereabouts wherever the ball is. She's always providing such a good work rate to every contest. Her burst out of the stoppage was there. She was always getting herself into good space in the corridor as well, you know, whether she was used or not. And thought she had some really nice moments of poise to turn herself out of contests and under a lot of pressure, she works herself out of those situations really, really, really well. Maggie Marnie, I thought, was good all day. I mean, she was leading hard. She took it. She kicked a nice set shot goal. Had a really good rundown tackle as well in the first half. She had some nice moments of composure in the middle where she was able to, you know, there was one instance she taps it over her opponent and the ball keeps moving forward. But she's just that consistent effort player all day. She'll always bring that.
Yeah, certainly. And I think another effort player and one of her teammates actually from the Oakley Chargers is Abby Vecino, finished with a bag of goals as well. And she just gets to so many contests. And I think in the 2 games, it's felt like she's had more disposals than what she's actually ended up with. But, yeah, her ability to win the contested possession and win the hard ball is really impressive. And I thought that Georgie Brisbane in that last quarter was quite impactful as well, and probably was one who really capitalised when Vic Metro were able to get the upper hand.
Yeah, I'd agree. It was that second half effort. When she got it rolling, that's when she really starts to impact. Probably struggled to really impose herself on the game early on, and I feel like there was no real consistent like entries either way. It felt like that real back and forth game. So in terms of, you know, consistency in that first half, wasn't really able to get herself going, but did in that last quarter and capped it off with a really nice goal as well in that final quarter. Like you said, I liked the efforts of Molly Patterson throughout the day. Thought she moved really well offensively in transition and her kicks to advantage were really good. I'll pass back to you in terms of others from Metro.
That's probably about all I've got from Metro. So we'll move to country and we have to start with Ash Centra. I thought that fourth quarter goal, that snap around the body from 45, really capped off an excellent showing from her, where her class and X factor shone through once again. And she was a big reason why Vic Country stayed in the match for as long as they did, with her ability to really take it up to some really highly credentialed midfielders and lead the effort for Country. We know Country are really strong in there, and we'll talk about Sarah Howley in a second, but Ash Centra was probably the most eye-catching of the bunch.
Oh, 100%. She elevated to another level in this game, and even when Country were getting dominated after that kind of third quarter period, she was there all day, and like you said, that goal in the last quarter was terrific. She was clean through the contest. She was aggressive as well all day. Like, I thought it was an extra level above what she usually is, and really took the game on herself. It was just awesome. That poise with ball in hand, it's unmatched. And, you know, even compared to Havana Harris, who's, you know, her likely number one, Battleites, like, I still think the poise with Centra is a next level above. The only reason Harris is different is she's got, you know, you can put her anywhere because of her height as well, which we've seen. So she was awesome. I guess I'll move to Sarah Howley now, who was really She didn't have as much of the attention in the first game, given the amount of time that was put into Centra and Painter in that first game. And I thought this one, she was terrific with her speed on the outside. She was clean by hand. Mm. I mean, she kicked a really nice goal from 25 metres out on the run. She was around the contest all day, won a lot of clearances, and I think she finished with 12 in the end, which was a match high. Her dash through the corridor was there late in games as well, and she was so productive throughout the course of the game.
I think you've summed that up really well. I'll move to Claire Marney, who was probably Vic Country's most likely target ahead of the footy. She finished with 2 goals. She kicked their first goal of the day, actually, and took some really nice contested marks, not only inside 50, but also in the front half, and has that smarts when she does get in the front half to sort of turn around and assess her options really smartly.
Stella Huxtable, I thought, was quite good in the forward half for Country most of the day. I mean, she obviously had a performance last week where she was that bit more clinical and Country possibly win. And she did. I thought she backed it up really well in terms of she was able to improve on that, not let that performance get her down. But her hands inside 50 were terrific. I mean, her tackle pressure was also there as well, so I was quite impressed with her. And Chloe Bryant as well, I thought, had some really nice moments of composure and agility, especially through the corridor. I thought that was just a really nice touch to Country's performance throughout the day.
The last two that I just want to quickly touch on was Alice Stoddart. I thought she was really daring with the footy and positioned herself really well to cut off some forward thrusts, finished with a fair few intercept possessions and really took the game on when she got the ball. And Lachia Painter, you said she obviously had that really strong first game and was definitely quieter in this one, but I thought she still had some nice moments and an air of confidence when she got the ball, and her pressure was an important ingredient as well for Country.
I think that about wraps it up. I don't think we said the score. Well, Metro did win, but they won by 33. It was close as well. I mean, it was 45 to 44 at one stage, and then Metro just kicked away, and it was a shame because it felt like a lot closer than what the final score would suggest. Really high scoring as well. We probably didn't expect on such a big Marvel ground that the flow would be there, but it really was. It was an awesome showing in the end, so it was terrific.
Yeah, and you say a game that the scoreline didn't necessarily reflect how close it felt. I think the Queensland and Allies game was very similar to that, in that the Allies obviously held on for a really strong win, but Queensland came really hard in the last quarter. It felt like they were going to run over the top of them. And even when they needed 3 or 4 goals with 6 or 7 minutes to go, you just couldn't help but feel they were still in the contest. If they just could have found a way to get 1 goal, it felt like a second and a third might be just around the corner. Zimra Hussain really threatened for Queensland. Unfortunately, wasn't able to finish off her hard work, but she wasn't alone because the Allies just defended so, so strongly. Ash Patton played in defence and provided a lot of spark. Ali Hall was one of the strongest and probably the most important ingredient in defence. Arguably, she was a really important marking presence behind the footy. And then some others, Mia Salisbury and Niali Milne for Queensland, were really strong. strong. Havana Harris caught the eye as well, like you say, when she's got that size and her ability to use it really well. It was really impressive. And then from an Allies perspective, Sophie Strong played her first game of the championships. I think it's only her second or third game of the season in what's been an injury-interrupted campaign. But she went straight into the midfield and was really clean, and she had to deal with some real physicality that sort of came her way, and she was able to put together a really good four-quarter performance. Lucy Thompson showed her power and was quite impressive as well. That's probably a wrap in terms of the players in that game. And then worth touching as well on an Oakley Pracky game that was played last week, and some prospects who played in that weren't part of the Metro setup. Liam Callahan, 20 disposals, including 3 contested marks, was really good down back. Tom Wenzel, 17 disposals, used it well and had 8 marks and 6 spoils, so his aerial presence was really good. Sam Grillage played well in the midfield. Luke Quayner continuing to adapt to his new role, up forward with 3 goals. Waylon Davey Motlop kicked 3 goals in 3 quarters and had 19 disposals. So good to see him get some confidence from the Talent League performances that he's produced. And Zane McCarthy was probably the leader of the midfield with 24 disposals and 8 clearance in that Oakley Pracky game.
Good to hear. I mean, the last thing we will talk about is the CTL returns this week. It hasn't been a while. It's only been 2 weeks. But jams are done now. So we're in the back end of the year. There's only about 5 more rounds for the boys, but it will obviously still be about 7 or 8 weeks until the regular season's done. But boys, Murray and Northern up in Wangaratta. Who wins?
I think Murray are due for a win.
Sure are. They don't lose up there. Well, that's the way I see it anyway. Tassie in Western at UTAS.
This will be an interesting one. I reckon Lenny Douglas to bounce back from a quieter champs and lead Tassie to a win.
Well, with all the Allies back, I'm assuming, yeah, I couldn't see Tassie losing. Sandy and Dandy, which is at Seaford, but it's a Sandy home game. But Sandy also got a away game at Trevor Barker against Easton, so I guess that makes up for it. But who wins?
I think Sandy will win. They'll be missing a lot of players to schoolboy footy, though.
Yeah, I'd just have to go Sandy on that one. Geelong and Oakley at Avalon.
Oakley. I reckon Oakley will win.
Oh, this is hard because it depends what Oakley team comes out. Like that.
Yeah.
That's where I... I'll just split for the sake of it. Geelong. Bendigo and Calder.
I think Bendigo should get the job done. They really need to get a job done against a Metro side at some point.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. That if they don't win this, I do struggle to see how they...
They need to repay my blind faith in them all year at some point. Because I've just had blind faith in them all year and they just haven't given me reason to have that.
I mean, I'll say Calder based off track record, and Gippsland and Easton is the last game of the round.
Yeah, I think Easton will be too strong in this one.
I'll say Gippy. I reckon there's... every chance. I mean, Easton need to get back a bit of form.
Also a massive school game this week with Halebury taking on Brighton, essentially the APS final. So many big names in action there. Luke Traynor will likely play on Harry Armstrong, and plenty more players that played Vic Metro involved there. Josh Dolan, Charlie Richardson among them. So, yeah, that'll be a really good game to watch. Lenny Hoffman, another one. So I think Brighton will get the job done there pretty comfortably. But, yeah, Halebury have taken some scalps this year.
On to the girls and not summer doubleheaders. Tassie Western is the first one.
I think I'll go Tassie in this one.
Same. Calder and Easton.
Easton.
Easton, Gippy and Bendigo. This is pretty much for the fourth spot, by the way. I mean, Gippy could finish higher, but I do think this decides who gets that final spot.
I think Gippsland will be a bit too strong.
So do I. Murray and Northern.
Northern.
Yes, Northern. Murray's still looking for their first win. Sandy and Dandy.
Dandenong.
Dandenong. And then Falcons and Oakley.
Oakley.
Oakley as well. But again, another good test for the Falcons. And that about wraps it up for this week. A big few videos coming out this week, so make sure you stay tuned. Like we said, we're going to have a full breakdown of Metro and Country's championships, a player-by-player analysis, which will come out in the next 7 days sometime. So please stay tuned to our socials for that. We have gone through individually and ranked every player. They've got a grade from A to C. So, and we've had a system in that. So if you want to hear about how we actually thought each went through the whole champs, please make sure to stay tuned for that. A big end to the year coming up, and we're excited to cover it all. So make sure to tune into the podcast each week. Thank you all for watching, and we will see you next week.